It was the day of Sabbath when Jesus passed by the streets of Jerusalem. And he met a man who was blind from birth. As he and his disciples passed by the man, the disciples asked him, "Teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That was a fair question to ask because everybody at that time thought the cause of suffering is sin. But Jesus saw something else. He replied to his disciples, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Sometimes in this world, we don't know why a person suffers. It is the state of the fallen world. But God can turn what is a tragedy and use it for good. He can bring light to those who dwell in darkness. And after Jesus said these things, Jesus spat on the ground and he made some mud that he kneeled down to the man who was blind and he anointed his eyes. He held the man up by his shoulder and told him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." The blind man looked like he didn't know what to do. He followed what Jesus said and he headed for the pool. That was the day when Jesus met a man who was blind from birth. It was the day of Sabbath when Simon saw something strange. Simon was a businessman in Jerusalem. He does business near the streets by the temple. And as he was walking through the street, down the street to his store, he saw something strange. He would see a blind man every day at the same corner begging for food, but today that blind man is no longer there. Everybody in town knew the blind man. It was unfortunate that he was born blind, and the parents couldn't afford to take care of him, so he was left on the streets from a young age to beg for food. But on this day, the blind man is not in the corner anymore. And so Simon walked and he kept wondering about this. And he got to the marketplace and he saw a crowd gathering at the marketplace. He headed over and he saw his friends, his business partners, and other neighbors and town people making a circle. And in the middle of the circle, there was a man. Some people in the crowd said, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Somebody yelled out, "Yes, it is. It is that guy in the corner." Somebody else said, no, that guy was blind. This guy surely is not. And so Simon squeezed his way into the crowd, kind of pushed people over, and he saw the man, the blind man. He recognized him, the ragged clothes, his beard, his messy hair, his smell. And the blind man kept telling the people, "I am the man. I am the beggar. I am the one in the corner." And the neighbors at this point were rowdy. They asked him, "What happened to you? How are you now seeing?" And the blind man replied to him, "I have no idea what just happened. There was a man and he was talking to some people. His name was Jesus. I never met him before. And he was talking to some people and all of a sudden he slapped some mud on my face. And I was going to stand up and punch him. But he was so gentle. He's so assuring. And he just said, he held me up and he says, 'Why don't you go find a pool and wash?' And I had no choice. I'm not going to punch a gentleman." And so I was so confused. I had no choice. There was stuff all over my face. So I went to the pool and I washed. And as I washed, you cannot believe what happened. Light entered into my eyes again. I couldn't believe it. I saw light. It was so bright. I had to cover them. It took me a good 10 minutes to get used to the light. And I saw water. I saw that yucky pool. I saw the sky. I saw people. I saw all of you. And I was so excited. I ran back and I tried to look for the man. And Simon heard all of this and he went up to the man, to the blind man. And he said, "Where's the guy? Where's the guy called Jesus?" And all the other people in the crowd also threw up their request. "Where is he? My sister's sick. My mother needs help. My brother has been in bed for the past 2 days." And the blind man said, "I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out now." Somebody in the crowd says, "This is a miracle. This is a sign from God. We need to bring him to the council to verify this." So Simon followed the crowd and the crowd brought the man to the synagogue. That was the day when Simon and the people of Jerusalem saw an amazing thing. And they were fascinated by a miracle, but they weren't sure what to make of it. It was the day of the Sabbath when Aaron and his wife, they experienced something out of the ordinary. Aaron and his wife were home. They were resting from a long week of work. When suddenly two temple guards came and knocked at the door and asked for them. They were being summoned to the synagogue. Aaron looked at his wife. They were afraid. What happened to us? Are we in trouble? Did we break any rule? Did we break any law? And they tried asking the two guards, but they didn't give any details. And so they had no choice. They were the temple guards. They quickly changed, they left their home, and they headed for the synagogue. On the way there, they saw crowds of people, many people also heading the same way. And they heard people talking and rumors, and people were looking at them and telling them, "You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Your son is in the synagogue." Aaron thought to himself, "What do we do? What do we do? The council thinks that your son is involved with that Jesus guy." What? That guy? Now, Jesus was a famous name among Jerusalem these days. He was famous for doing many signs and miracles, but he was also famous for causing trouble to the religious official. The official said that he was a blasphemer, he was a false teacher, he was a rule breaker, he was a rebel, and if anybody follows this man, he will be punished for blasphemy and idolatry. And so Aaron sweated. He looked at his wife, and they both thought to each other, "How did our son get involved with this guy? He started to follow him? Did he cause any trouble?" Now, it was supposed to be only a short walk to the council, but it felt uneasy and stressful. The road felt much longer than they remembered. And when they went into the synagogue, Aaron saw his son standing, talking, looking around with confidence and different. Aaron stopped at the entrance. He couldn't bring himself to meet his son. After all, they left him on the streets. They were day laborers. They simply couldn't do anything to afford to take care of a blind children. Aaron saw their son looking in their direction, but it seems like the son hasn't realized that they were here. Now Aaron was moving his feet. He was thinking about what to say, and then the council board broke the silence. "Aaron, is this your son who you say was born blind?" Sir, yes, sir. He's my son. He was born blind when he was born." "So Aaron, how does he now see?" So many thoughts cross Aaron's mind. What? He sees? What happened to him? Is it the guy called Jesus? That guy? Is that what people were telling me about? "Aaron, answer us. How does he now see?" And the council demanded an answer. And Aaron was afraid. Before validating anything, before saying anything, perhaps it's better not to associate themselves with this incident. If it's really the Jesus guy, that's trouble. We don't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. We're too old for this. We're working to save up for retirement. If anything goes south, we won't be able to find a job and we won't have enough money to make a living. So Aaron straightened himself and he answered them, "Sir, we know this is our son. And yes, he was born blind. But how he now sees, we don't know. And we don't know who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask him? He's old enough, he can speak for himself." The council replied back to Aaron, "You two really don't know what happened. You're not lying. Do not lie in front of the temple of God." Sir, we're not lying, sir. We swear by the holy name of God. You can ask our son himself. We don't know anything. We haven't seen each other for a long time. We have no idea what happened to him." And so the council guard took the both of them, sent them back to their homes. And on the way back, Aaron let out a sigh of relief. It seemed like they avoided some trouble. And he's also relieved that their son should be doing much better now. He should be fine now. And so when they got home, they offered a prayer of thanksgiving and they went to prepare for the next workday. So that was the day when Aaron and his wife, the parents of the blind man, they saw a miracle. But they distanced themselves from the incident because they were afraid. They thought it's better to continue your lives undisturbed and in peace. It was the day of Sabbath when Joseph had to deal with a troublemaker again. Joseph was a religious teacher. He is a leader. He is part of the Pharisees. And he was called to go into the council, go into the synagogue one afternoon to deal with a supposedly miracle incident. And so Joseph took his seat with his fellow council members, and they saw a crowd brought in a man. It was the beggar. You know the beggar in the corner of the street, the one who was born blind. Everybody knows the beggar. But what was the big deal now is the crowd claims this man can see. He got his sight back. And so the guards did some tests with him, the 1, 2, 3 with him, and he's not lying. He sees now. And the crowd says, what's worse about this? This crowd says, it was Jesus who healed the man. Joseph thought to himself, no way. The council need to verify this. No one in recorded history has ever given sight to a blind man that was born blind. If this really happened, that's a big deal. It proves that this Jesus guy, he is the messenger by the least. Or worse yet, he is the actual guy, the promised one. No way, Joseph thought to himself. He's a troublemaker. He doesn't follow any of our stuff. And so the leader of the council took his seat, asked the blind man, why don't you retell what happened? And the blind man stood up straight. He said, there was this man called Jesus. He put mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see. The council member beside you quickly jumped in. He made mud? You say it again, he made mud? Yes, sir, he made mud. You can't do that on the Sabbath, you know? I know. That's against the teaching. That's against the teaching of our elders. That's against the tradition. That's the same as making dough. You can't make mud. This man broke the Sabbath tradition. He's not from God. But the other members beside him say, hey, calm down, dude. Calm down. Think about it. How can a man who's a sinner do such a thing? Joseph, he was sandwiched in the middle. He pondered about this. He's also undecided. The Messiah is the promised one. He has to follow the teaching of our elders. But this Jesus guy clearly breaks the rules. He broke all of the teachings of our history. But hold on, if he's a fraud and he's a liar, how is he doing this stuff? Wait. Maybe the blind guy is a fraud too. They're making some stuff up together. So the head of the council asked the blind man, what do you say about him? Since he has opened your eyes. The blind man replied, well, he must be a prophet. And so the council gathered together to discuss on this matter. And the head of the council raised a concern. If this Jesus guy is only starting to become popular now, and he's already opposing us and gaining a following, what would happen down the road? Everybody will start following him. We can't just let that happen. And everybody in the council nodded. They agreed. They can't let this Jesus guy continue to spread lies and falsehood. Another member of the council had a suggestion. Don't we have the blind man's, family records? Why don't we get his parents over here? Then we'll know this blind man is a fraud. And so the guards went to summon the parents of the blind man. As the parents arrived, they questioned the parents. And they indeed verified that this blind man was indeed born blind. But the parents didn't say anything else. So the council went and called the blind man back to the court and said to him, give glory to God and tell the truth. Stop lying. We know this Jesus guy is a sinner. Sir, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. I only know one thing, that I was blind and now I see. Well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? What act did he do? Stop lying to us and tell the truth. Sir, I have told you already and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? at the council beside Joseph, he jumped in again. He was very angry now. He was very passionate. He says, no one on this earth wants to be his disciples. You are his disciples. We are disciples of Moses. You know Moses? God spoke to Moses. We know all that much. We don't know where this fraud came from. He breaks our rules. He breaks the elders' teachings. He causes trouble everywhere. We don't know where he came from. And Joseph again, sandwiched in the middle. He's listening and watching this dialogue, and he looked at the blind man. The blind man let out a smirk. He looked the council straight in the eyes. Wow, that's amazing. You guys are the teachers and the leaders, and you are well studied in the law and our history. You don't even know where he came from. The truth, and I only know this truth as he opened my eyes. You leaders must know this. God doesn't listen to any sinners. He only listens to anyone that worships him and does his will. Never since the beginning of the world, you know this, never since the beginning of the world do we know of anybody opening the eyes of man born blind. I will tell you where this man came from. He must be from God, because if he were not from God, he couldn't do any of this stuff. And the council slammed the table. The head of the Pharisees jumped up and he screamed at the blind man, "You are filth. You were born in sin of your parents and you're teaching us with your dirty mouth. Get out of here. Guards, take this man out. He's not allowed to come into this synagogue anymore." And the crowd and the council stood up and made a statement to the rest of the crowd. "If anyone else talks about this guy called Jesus again, we will also throw him out of the synagogue. What has happened today is a fraud. This guy and Jesus are part of the same cult. They are blasphemers of God. Don't listen to their lies. Don't listen to the teachings. If anyone follows him, we'll expel him just like today." That was the day when Joseph and the Pharisees met a man whom Jesus supposedly healed. But they didn't see a miracle. They saw a threat to their authority, to their agenda, and to their power. They didn't see anyone healing a blind man. They saw someone breaking their expectations, their presumptions. They didn't see the Messiah. They chose not to see him. That was a day when different groups of people saw Jesus, or they saw what Jesus has done. I wonder if you see any of these people in yourself. The first group that saw Jesus and his work was the crowd and the neighbors. They saw the blind man. They questioned the blind man. And the crowd was curious. They were eager to find Jesus. But as we read throughout the Gospel of John, they were interested in Jesus for the wrong reasons. They wanted entertainment, they wanted show, they wanted more bread, they wanted more fish, they wanted somebody who wanted to have their needs met, somebody wanted healing, somebody wanted food. Somebody was just there because everybody was there. And so even though they saw the miracle, they were looking at something else. They were looking at the wrong thing. And they missed the Son of God altogether. Does that happen to you sometimes? Maybe you came here looking for the wrong thing. Maybe you came here looking for certain aspects about this faith, and these things drew your attention away from Jesus himself. Do you identify with the crowds from that day? The other group of people that was involved in this incident that saw a miracle were the parents of the blind man. We read that John has put in this little prompt for us. We read that their fear stopped them from seeing. Their fear stopped them from talking. Their fear stopped them from investigating further, going further, and looking for answers because they were afraid. They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. They were afraid of the consequences of being expelled. There are consequences. Financially, there are consequences. Socially, there are consequences. There are going to be some negative impacts. And so because of their fear of what people might think or people might do, they just missed God altogether. They missed encounter with Jesus, the one who healed their son. Or maybe we should say they just looked away. They just looked away. I don't want to see this. Does that happen to you sometimes? Maybe you're afraid of what your friend or your boss or your coworker might do or might think. And it causes you to look away and turn away from certain things. Do you identify with the parents of the blind men? Or are we sometimes like the Pharisees? Throughout the Gospel of John, we read of different encounters that the Pharisees have with Jesus. They're the ones that see Jesus the most. And you know what the irony is? The irony is that they are the ones that are most equipped to see who Jesus was. They knew the Old Testament. They memorized the scripture. They are well aware of God's promise for a Messiah. If anybody would be the first to see Jesus, the Pharisees would be the first. But the tragedy is that they are the ones that miss Jesus all this time. They chose to look away because what they think about Jesus and who Jesus was, they didn't match. Jesus didn't meet their expectations of what are their presumptions of what Messiah should be. You know what they think? They think Messiah should come from a certain background, should have a certain status, comes from a certain place, fulfill a certain political agenda. And they thought the Messiah would follow what they teach, what their elders taught. And so they looked at the Messiah from their lens. They put Messiah in a box. And when Messiah appears outside of their box, they looked away. They looked at their status as well. Their status and their power and their good life and people following them, listening to them. And they don't want to be disrupted by the Messiah. And so they chose not to see the proof. They chose not to see the truth that Jesus restored sight to a blind man. Something they knew, they had no doubt. They knew this. If a man was born blind and somebody restored his sight, has to be from God. They knew this. Question I have for you tonight. Does that happen to you sometimes? Do you also choose what you look at and what you don't? Do you sometimes choose what you magnify and what you overlook? Maybe you have certain presumptions and expectations and you have a box. If God's in that box, you will look at God. If God's not in that box, you turn away. Sometimes I think we all have a little Pharisee-ness in us. There was a time I was so hyper-focused on my future and my career and what I would do. I just completely overlooked the fact that my school and my career and what I already did back then was all of God's answered prayer. I just chose to overlook the fact and magnify whatever the issue is. Has that happened to you? I wonder if sometimes you wonder in your faith where God is. You ask that question. Where's God now? I don't hear him. I don't feel him. But you overlook the fact that, wait, hold on a second. Just like a year ago, you had a retreat. In that retreat, you saw everybody crying. Where's God? You just overlook that? Or maybe you're coming to the church and you're like, well, yeah, we'll just come here casually. Just come here. Just, you know, just if it's out of your parents' car, you know, And then you're like, well, there's nothing important happening in here. But you look at your small group member. You look at the people around you. You look at what's happening in this church and you're like, hold on a second. Can't you see what's happening in here? And you're like, God is not doing things? Or maybe God is called you. Let me get a song with you guys. God has called you. God has called you specifically. Why don't you step out? Why don't you follow me? Why don't you do this? And you chose not to see it. You chose not I'm not looking at it. Do you identify with the Pharisees? Choosing and picking what you want to see and what you don't want to see. That was the day when different groups of people encountered Jesus, but not everybody saw him. But there was one man that saw him. The blind man. Turns out it was the blind man who was able to see the most clearly, which was strange for obvious reasons. Hopefully you're getting the point of the story. But hold on a second. If you go back to the story, this blind man didn't have any more information than the rest of the parties. The blind man didn't know who Jesus was. The blind man said, well, the man called Jesus healed me. But he didn't know. Jesus didn't give him a little pep talk, didn't tell him, okay, I'm the Son of God. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to put mud on your face. Don't punch me, and then I'm going to heal you, and you're going to know. He didn't do any of that stuff. The blind man didn't know. He had the same information as the Pharisees, as the crowd, as the rest of the people. He's probably well aware that you're not supposed to make mud, according to what the Pharisees taught. He's also probably well aware of the fact that he's going to get thrown out of the synagogue if he keeps on saying what he said. And you think about it. The blind man had no need to go through all of this stuff. When he washed that mud out of his face, he just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and just booked it out of there. Celebrate. My sight is bad. Let's have a party. He didn't have to go through all of this stuff. And you know, when he went into the synagogue, he just made up some stuff. I'm actually not born blind. I'm like, just let me go and just get out of there. That's what the Pharisees wanted to hear anyway. But he didn't. He looked truth straight in the eyes. He didn't turn away from it. He didn't get it distracted. He looked at his story and his experience. He didn't allow other things to distract him. The expectations of the Sabbath, those are minor things. Oh, the fear of the people, that's not important. What's important is there was a guy who healed me and now I see. That's my story. I have to hold on to that. And so the blind man, all this time, his eyes was closed. Physically, yes, it was closed. But spiritually, his eyes was open. And you know what the great news is? He eventually did see the Son of God. After the blind man was thrown out of the synagogue, he was walking down the street, wandering down the street, looking around. Where is this guy? Where is this guy who put mud on my face? Now get this. He got his sight after Jesus healed him and Jesus left. He don't know who Jesus looked like. He's just looking in the street, finding all the corners. Did you see this man? There's this guy. Who is he? Where is he now? He left to the, oh, he went to this house. He went to this house. Oh, he went to this. He had no idea. He's just looking and looking and looking. Where is the guy that healed me? You know what's amazing about this story? Jesus went to find him. Jesus didn't leave him. Jesus didn't continue on, oh, just another miracle. Oh, let's go on to the whatever now. Jesus went back for him. When Jesus heard that the blind man had been casted out, he intentionally went to look for him. Where is the guy that got cast out because of me? I gotta go find him. And so he went to look for the guy. He saw the guy down the street, tapped him on the shoulder. The blind man turned around. He has no idea. Jesus asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? The blind man, he still has no clue. He says, sir, good sir, who is he that I may believe in him? The blind man didn't recognize Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, you have seen him. It is He who is speaking to you. You have seen Him with your heart when you acknowledged Him. When you took a step of faith to speak your testimony, you've seen Him with your heart. When you weren't distracted by all the other things, when you weren't afraid, you've seen Him with your heart. That was me. I came back for you. And the blind man teared up and he grabbed onto Jesus' hands and he fell on his feet and he says, Lord, I believe. And you know what? God's looking for you today. He's coming to find you like He went out to find that blind man. You're walking down the journey of life, minding your own business, walking down the streets of life, and you wonder, where is God in my life? What is He doing? What is the plan? Where is He right now? You're anxious and you're worried about many things. And Jesus, hey, tap on your shoulder. And He asks you a question. Do you believe in me? Do you believe in my works and my plans and what I've done? To which you turn back to Him and you say, well, who are you? What have you done? What have God done? Where is He in my life? And Jesus tells you, you have seen me. All these things that have happened to you in the past, you have seen me. If you would just put down your box, put down your presumptions, put down your expectations, put down your fears and your thoughts, just look at your life. You have seen me before. Remember that night, that worship night, that you weren't even planning to go. Second song into the set. Second song. You started crying for no reason. That was an allergy, my man. That was an allergy. That wasn't even the music. That was me. You have seen me. Remember when you, and that same night, third song into the set, you saw other people crying for no reason. They weren't acting. There are no actors in here. That's God working. You have seen me. Some of you in here, when you were young, you made a decision to follow God. You had no idea what you were doing. You're in middle school. The teacher asked, who's one follow? Who wants to believe in Jesus? You raised your hand. Jesus says you shouldn't overlook it because you were young. God speaks to young people, yeah? God, when whoever declares Jesus to be Lord, God is working in them. He has been working in all of your life since your middle school, since you were a little kid. You have seen me. Remember that day when you were so worried for your family and your family member and their sickness, and now something's changed. They're recovering. That's not just the doctors. That's not just the medication. That's not lucky. There's no such thing as lucky. God's healing, God's working. That's me. You have seen me. Remember when you prayed for your work? You prayed for your school. At the end of the grade 12, you have no idea where you want to go. At the end of year 4 in university, you have no clue what you're going to do. Look at where you are now. That's not a coincidence. That's not even because you're extra talented, your grades were extra good, you look super nice. It's not. It was God's work. I provided for you. I paved your step every way. You have seen me. The blind man 2,000 years ago, his response, he grabbed Jesus' hand. He started crying and he says, Lord, I believe. That was you all along. Church, it's your turn. What's your response? You have seen him. Do you believe in the Son of Man?